Let's talk BBL. We've got John Pirrick from the A's to join us in a second. And ordinary game, ordinary performance by the Stars last night. They were put to the sword, basically, by the Heat. Just never made enough runs, really. 7 for 138. And the Heat did it on the bit in the end. Some great batting from Jay Burns really got him over the line. Let's talk to JP. He was there covering the game. How are you, JP?
Good morning, Rowan. How are things?
Good, good. What do you make of that? I thought it was, as T20 contests go, it was one of those, you struggle to say it's any T20 game's boring, but it was certainly one of the more predictable ones the way it panned out after that first innings, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was certainly one of the more, sort of, I guess, low-key games I've had this summer. Don't forget, the Stars are without five of their best players at the moment. Three of their best players at the moment. They'll be without five come this weekend's game, missing Maxwell, Hanscom and Faulkner at the moment. The Heat were without their two key hitters. So when the top players are missing, the standard can drop a bit. And also the pitch as well. It was the same deck that was used in the one-day game on Sunday. It also been baked under the heat we've had here in the last few days. So it was a two-pace deck and made batting really difficult. And as we saw, it was just such a grind. I think there were only four sixes hit on the night.
Mm.
There weren't that many overall boundaries. And in the end, the Heat pulled off sort of what would have been sort of one of their best wins in recent years.
Just to actually, interesting when you say a two-pace track, because I heard that a lot after the one day or on Sunday as well. Just for the layman, I guess, at home, and that might be a few people that are into the Big Bash. Can you explain to our audience what a two-pace deck actually means and why that makes scoring difficult?
Well, the ball just wasn't really coming onto the bat, and sort of that was up to the batsmen sort of to generate the pace themselves. That's why the spinners have done so well. We saw the Pakistan spinners on Sunday tie up the Australian batsmen and make scoring difficult. And last night it was Zampa that did a great job for the Stars and also Swepson for the Heat. So yeah, the ball is just not coming onto the bat. There's no real life in it for the quick bowlers, and it just sort of makes life difficult in terms of scoring. So that's been the gist of it as well. Plus, it just gets so dry with the Heat here. So. Batting's been a bit of a grind, but hopefully, a new deck will be used on Saturday and there'll be a bit more life in it for the must-win game for the Stars and Sixers.
Just got a SMS through, someone saying the Stars are a chasing side, beats me why they elected to bat first. Are we seeing that now? Are there sides that they're better on the chase or they're better setting the target?
Yeah, the Renegades' record at Etihad Stadium is really good, hunting down runs. A lot of teams feel they can sort of execute their plans better, knowing exactly what's before them, and so they can pick the overs when they feel they need to go hard at the bowlers, and also which bowlers they really need to go after. So it was spoken about last night that it was a bit surprising that the Stars had opted to bat first, having won the toss. But I guess missing a few of their key bats, and they thought perhaps you put more pressure on the Heat as well, particularly as they didn't have their two best batsmen. But in the end, it sort of didn't really matter, did it?
No, and you mentioned the absence of key players. Now, clearly, that's becoming a bit of an issue for the Stars in terms of depth. But I guess it was a good opportunity for the Heat to show their wares off. And as you said, no Lynn, no McCullum. Ross was pretty impressive for them.
Yeah, Ross has had a pretty good tournament. He's sort of one of the better players of spin, and he showed that again last night. And Joe Burns began slowly, one off, I think, his first five balls. But we saw in the end, and we're sort of talking about this yesterday, how you can play catch-up in your innings. And his two sixes off Hilfenhaus in a boundary dragged the Heat over the line in the end. So you can, as we spoke about, you can play catch-up pretty quickly. Yeah, it was sort of a no-name sort of Heat team in some ways.
Mm.
Yeah, so they got the job done. Their bowlers did really well. Their fielding was a bit sloppy, so was the case of both teams, actually. But in the end, the Stars just didn't get enough runs on the board. They sort of felt they were 10 to 15 runs too short, and you sort of really need 150, even on a deck that may not be up to the standard that you hope.
Crowd was a touch over 40,000, was it?
Yeah, just over 40,000, which wasn't too bad, considering it's been some big games down here recently. There was a one-day there on Sunday. We've obviously got the tennis on at the moment as well, so there was a lot of noise coming from Melbourne Park. So 40,000 is a pretty good crowd. And also, going into the game, fans knew that both teams had been weakened, so I reckon it was pretty good.
No, I agree. That's why I brought it up. I think, this is the sixth Big Bash, and we've sort of got used to the big crowds. What I was going to say was it's easy to get blasé about it, isn't it? I wonder if there were some people thinking, that's not great. But, gee, for a essentially domestic competition, a three-hour game and midweek, albeit, you know, given a holiday period in terms of the kids, but I think 40,000 is a great crowd. I mean, they must be, the administrators of the comp must be doing cartwheels about where it's at six seasons down the track.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I must admit, I got there quite early last night, and it took a while for the ground to fill up, and I thought at one stage you might even struggle to get 30,000, but in that last hour, it really filled up. And what I also noticed was the amount of fans buying merchandise. Like, the ground was, there were so many fans had the Green Stars uniforms on, and just goes to show how particularly youngsters have taken to this format, and they can sort of dress up, you know, with the gear and their favourite teams and sort of feel a real part of it, which is something that, you know, I've always thought merchandise, particularly for the Australian side and the test team through the years, is, it just hasn't been up to scratch, really. I reckon there could have been, the coffers could have been a little bit more full with some better sort of livelier gear through the years, but the BBL is certainly up to that, bright colours and the like, and that sort of attracting children to the code.
Just quickly on Mitch Swepson, 2 for 14, won the Man of the Match award. I saw him interviewed afterwards. Speaks very well, and he seems a very humble sort of guy. I mean, a lot of us have seen very little of him, and may have been a bit of a surprise for that touring party to India. But gee, he'll have to learn quickly, won't he, over there?
Yes, he's a mature young man. He bowled at a good speed last night. As we're saying, it was a slow deck, and he paces up to around 90 kilometres or more, which is the type of pace for a leg spinner you need over in India. He sort of first came to prominence, I guess, for some of us during the Sri Lankan tour last year. He was over there with, wasn't with the Australian squad, but he was over there with the touring academy side, and he was bowling to Steve Smith in the net, and Smith was really impressed. And from there, he's sort of grown, and he's had a pretty good domestic season, obviously. And in the Big Bash, he sort of emerged arguably as the Heat's most important bowler. And as we've seen, spinners have such a key role to play. And if you've got a leg spinner that knows what he's doing, and as Zampa was last night, it sort of keeps you in the game at all stages. Well, I'm trying to get wickets or just, you know, restricting runs.
I'm glad there was something positive out of that tour, because I remember you were on it, and it was a bit of a disaster, all things considered, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't so much the spinning ball that was doing the Australian batsman in, it was the straight ball. So hopefully that's something they've learnt from. They'll head over to Dubai for a pre-India training program for a couple of weeks later this month, and then head over to the subcontinent, and hopefully they can handle the Indian spins a bit better.
Great stuff, John. Always a pleasure chatting cricket with you. We'll catch up. In fact, I reckon you have a chance to. Can you come on tomorrow? Are you free?
I'll check my busy schedule.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll get my people to check with your people, and we may speak to you again tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, Ron.